Well, again, it was, as I said yesterday, a good team win for us. Contributions in all three phases, contributions from a lot of people. The conditions were more challenging, but, you know, that's part of the game. And, but we dealt with them, not perfectly, but you know, we took advantage of some opportunities and tried to do the best we could there. The specialists in the kick game, Andy and Ryan, Steve, did an excellent job in those conditions. And, so at this point now, we just got to turn the page, move ahead. I think there are certainly things that we need to work on as a football team that we get better in those areas that will help us going forward until we specifically know who it is we'll be matching up against next. But again, there's still plenty of things on the football team that work on for us. So who we play and try to press them.
All right. Bill, just maybe digging deeper a little bit on that last thought you had about this week. Is the layout, you know, does the week start with, hey, let's work on us first, and then as we get to, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, it's a half day on each of those three teams? Or have you guys figured out exactly how you'll split up this week, knowing that you won't have a definitive answer on who you play until Sunday afternoon?
Right. You know, those are all real good questions. And I don't know an answer to all of them at this moment. First things first, which is get through this game and, also to a degree the Baltimore game, because that was another kind of quick week for us because of the Christmas holiday. And we got out on the field on Tuesday instead of Wednesday, so we never really cleaned up some things from that game. And then we'll have to, look, as you said, look ahead there. I mean, we have, some familiarity with Cincinnati, obviously, but, not with Kansas City. And not with Indianapolis, at least not this year. So, we'll have to try to make some determination as we get later into the week as to, how to organize the preparation and so forth. But for right now, our focus is really just trying to get through the Buffalo and, as I said, even to a certain extent, the Baltimore game. Make sure we take care of what's in our house. Do the best we can to, regardless of who we play, get some things straightened out and adjusted. And at some point, we'll turn and look towards our next matchup. But we're really not going to know who that is until Sunday night. So just maybe do some preliminary work. But there's a good chance that if we work on all those teams, as you mentioned, then two thirds of it is going to be, I don't want to say a waste of time, but a waste of time for the one. So, just have to try to figure out how to make the best of our opportunity with that time. But I think it starts with just the Patriots.
Bill, not getting into this, we can't get into the specifics of the injury, but Logan left the field after LeGarrette's first touchdown. Looked like, something that was pretty banged up, goes to the locker room and is back out. I think he missed just one drive. Tom mentioned, after the game, second to none in terms of toughest. Did it ever surprise you that Logan, got back? Did it surprise you at all that Logan was back on the field as quickly as it was, after seeing him go down in some, what looked like pretty decent pain?
Yeah, I think it did. He's not a guy that, first of all, I agree with Tom, in terms of toughness. I've coached a lot of tough guys. I don't think there's any that I would put ahead of him. Maybe some on that level, but not ahead. And anytime Logan needs help getting off the field, you feel like it's something serious. That usually ends up just staying out there, but for him to need assistance getting off the field was definitely a concerning moment. And then when Jim Whalen came back and told me, as you mentioned, kind of after the next series, that Logan's back, I was a little bit surprised to hear that. But he's a tough individual, tough mind, physically and mentally tough. You know, I think we have a lot of it on our team, but certainly, you know, he, you know, along with, you know, really all of our captains, a lot of toughness, and obviously Logan. Slater's played all year, most of the year with the open pump, all that. Evan. Nickfish, I mean, they're all very physically and mentally tough guys. They've given a lot of leadership, a lot of toughness. But it was a lot yesterday. It was incredible.
So, Rupnik, speaking of Rupninkovich, he made a couple of key stops yesterday. One of them came in the second quarter, that fourth and one stop, and the other one had the sack late in the game when it was a one-score game. And I wonder if you could just kind of take us through both plays. I didn't know, it seemed like the first one, there was a lot of anticipation on his part, and I guess in the second one was just the work of all those guys up front, but I don't know if you could expand on those a bit and what it meant in the course of the game as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, the fourth and one stop was a huge play. You know, he did it last week in the Baltimore game, too. You know, Rob's a very experienced and instinctive player. And, you know, sometimes players like that just make great plays, and other times they kind of play the percentages and do what they need to do to make the play. Maybe it's not quite the way it's drawn up in the book, but it's the gamesmanship. It's, you know, on-field situation awareness. And there's just no price for that. Not necessarily something you can coach. It's just more of an instinctiveness that a player has. And Rob's, you know, a very instinctive player. He's made a lot of plays for us. He's been here on both defense and in the kicking game. He has a good, you know, good feel for how to play the game. It's a big plays for us in crucial situations. And we had to be aware of, you know, Lewis getting out of the pocket. You know, Rob did a good job of making them stand with him. I give them that space to get away, and as you said, sack there was one score game. So you know, he's been a good player for us for several years, and just continues to do a lot of little things, sort of, you know, I don't want to say unnoticed, but a little bit of an unsung type of thing. He just, you know, steadily plays consistently in the running game, the passing game, situational football. Just a very defensible guy, a good football player.
Good morning, Bill. I just was going to follow up on Fields' question about Logan, and I know sometimes on those situations, adrenaline can pull a player through, you know, during a game. I was curious, you know, the fact he returned, did that give any, you know, does that lessen the concern going forward just on whatever, you know, his availability might be for when you guys are back out on the field?
Right. Well, I don't really have anything. I don't have any information about, you know, the going forward part of it. It's always part of the whole post-game process, which, yeah, all that plays out. But, yeah, I just, you know, can't say enough about the performance that he gave us yesterday, especially after being helped off the field. So, we'll just have to see all the rest of it materializes. I'm not really.
Sure. I had, and I'm not sure, you might have touched on this, I apologize. Just like when you get a day like that where it's so wet and you have a back like LeGarrette, who is a little bit bigger, and the way he runs maybe with like a body lean or, you know, anything like that, that's sort of the type of day that is suited to like a player that runs with his type of style. I know you mentioned it was a running type game, but I was more curious specific to his style of running, if that was maybe conducive to him.
I mean, I think that, you know, there's a lot of different players, a lot of different styles out there. I mean, you could play like C.J. Spiller on the other side of the ball, who's, you know, as quick and nifty and as good of a change of direction back as there is in the league, and, you know, he was still pretty effective, you know, doing that. You know, skipping outside, bouncing plays out, plays that, you know, you might think, you know, aren't maybe ideal for those kind of conditions, but it put a lot of pressure on the defense, and, you know, we had trouble with it. to Derek, you know, brought a little bit of a different style in terms of, you know, downhill power. He slipped a couple tackles, but he ran through a lot of them, too. And I think a lot of it just gets down to, you know, fundamentals of body lane, as you mentioned. Doing, and just, you know, good fundamentals of running, including ball protection, body lane, you know, trying to keep the tacklers from, you know, getting to your legs and keeping those moving, playing with a low center of gravity and, you know, good forward body lane, ball security. So, well, Garrett did that on a number of occasions yesterday, both offensively and in a kicking game on those kickoff returns. So, he's our guy to tackle in good conditions, but you know, when everything's wet, when he's wet, when the tacklers are all wet, they can't grab on anything, it's, tackling can be very challenging in those conditions. Not so much because of the footing, although it's part of it, just, you know, the actual the tackling something. So, you know, trying to tackle, you know, hold on to something called greased up. It's just hard to get a grip on.
Bill, I know it's easy for us on the outside, especially during the months of the off season, to, you know, make declarations, crown teams off season winners. Usually it's those who spend the most money and land the, you know, the quote-unquote prize free agents. But for you guys this season, there have been a number of players, whether it's, you know, Chris Jones, Joe Villano leading you guys in snaps at defensive tackle, Julian Edelman, 100-plus catches, even LeGarrette, you know, sort of some people cast him off after his final year in Tampa Bay. Key contributors. In some ways, is that a gratifying part of your job? You know, coaching players who outside perception may not meet or may not align with your, in, you know, your perception internally, and then seeing them succeed when, again, on the outside, they're not given much of a chance to be major contributors?
Well, you know, I think a lot of the, first of all, I'd say a lot of the, you know, the names that you brought up are, you know, it's interesting because they all came, not all of them, but, you know, there's a number of different ways you can acquire players and build your team in the offseason, and I think that pretty much covers it. You know, some of the guys you mentioned, draft choices, college free agents that weren't drafted, waiver wire players like Chris Jones, trades like Micah Garrett, you know, veteran signings, all-season signings, or re-signings in the case of Edelman. So, you know, those are, you know, those are all ways to build your team. I think in the off-season, what we try to do with the coaching staff and Nick Caserio and his personnel staff is we just try to build the team, you know, and it's so hard to, you know how it's all going to turn out. You know, have a some kind of a, you know, an idea of what the player can bring to your team, but how it's all going to turn out and what, you know, how the team's going to come together and, you know, who, nobody really thought when we were putting the team together that, you know, we'd lose our, you know, our top three defensive tackles, you know, with Will Fork and Kelly and Armstead before the season started. So, you know, those kind of things are unexpected and you just have to react to them along the way. And, you know, of course, it's good to see that, you know, that you've brought in have been able to fit in. Not all of them, obviously, but, you know, some of them have been able to fit in and contribute. So it's, you know, it's a long process and one that takes a lot of different twists and turns, and it's hard to tell where, you know, sometimes where players will come from, or guys like, you know, Justin Green, or who's on the practice squad, you know, all year this year, most of the year, or James Devlin, who's on the practice squad all year last year, most of it anyway, and you know, that has been a key contributor for us this year. It's, you know, a lot of times you see growth in those players, like we saw from Brady from his rookie year to his second year. So what guys are 1 year and what they are the next year, certainly Julian this season, is, you know, his production's more than all the other years combined probably. So it's just never know how all that's going to turn out. It's a long season, twists and turns that can, on the other part of it, I mean, I really can't worry about what everybody else thinks outside of the organization, because opinions are very wide. Some people think some things are good, other people think things are bad. Whatever it is, it doesn't really make any difference. You know, once we make a commitment to a player or a position or a situation, then, you know, we try to let it play out until we feel like there's the need to change that decision, whether it's to move along somebody else in or to, you know, accelerate that player in his role. So, I mean, I just can't be concerned about, you know, what everybody thinks, because there's something that's out there, but there's no way to satisfy it.
So I was wondering what your take was on the four fumbles by your team yesterday.
Well, it was, you know, too many. I mean, obviously it was a tough day with the ball handling, but you know, our goal every week is to just not turn the ball over and not fumble it, to not have it intercepted, to not, you know, have kicks blocked. I mean, all those things. It's all about ball protection. Even though the conditions were difficult, you know, our expectations are still that we do that. And we have had you know, some situations where it wasn't the case, and we're lucky it wasn't more costly than, you know, the what it ended up being. You know, we had some very unfortunate recoveries, you know, on a couple of the balls that were out that you can't really count on. But it was, they were fortunate. The interception was another, you know, ball in a tight space that we couldn't handle that they eventually did. So, you know, that was, those are the five plays that we, you know, allowed them to get their, you know, to expose the ball, and they only got it once, but it could have been worse. And had those turnovers occurred, you know, we might not be talking about the same kind of outcome that we had. So, fortunate to get away with all those.
Bill, I was curious on the kickoff return game. It seems like I need to look closer at it, but I'm thinking back to almost like a 2.5 year sort of snapshot of maybe not having the production you guys would like on a consistent basis in the kick return game. What did you see yesterday that made that different from maybe what we've seen over a fairly extended stretch of time here, if you think that's a fair statement?
I think it's fair. Yeah, I can't argue with that. I mean, you know, last year we had, you know, the kickoff return by Devin, and then really not much else in that game, in the Jets game. I mean, that was a huge play in that win. But, and, you know, throughout the year it was not nearly the productive level that we'd like it to be. And that's been a little bit of the case this year. You know, as usual, I would say it's, you know, a number of little things, not little things, but little things. You know, they got 10 guys covering, and you know, you really only need to miss one block, and, you know, you could have 6, 7, 8 good blocks, but you miss one, or, you know, you get picked, or something happens, and then you end up with, you know, nothing to show for, possibly, you know, other parts of the play that look pretty good. So, you know, I thought yesterday on the second return, you know, Nate Ebner had a, you know, had a great block. He cross-blocked on the front line, and you know, had a knockdown, and that guy, you know, fell into somebody else, and you know, the other Buffalo players kind of tripped over him, and all of a sudden, you know, there was some real space there. You know, I thought that, you know, Slater on that did a good job of kind of being the, you know, escort, personal protector type of guy for the return. That he had a couple key blocks to spring him, and, you know, of course, the returner is always a key guy there, and, you know, LeGarrette did a good job of running. You know, he, on the first one, I think it was, where he got outside of Hogan, he kind of bounced it out. He showed a lot of speed up the sideline, and then, you know, broke a couple tackles there at midfield to add on another 15, 20 yards, whatever it was. But, you know, the combination of you know, creating space on the return, good running by the returner, breaking a tackle, or, you know, making a guy miss, that type of thing. You know, that it all kind of happened on a couple plays. So I think that's fairly common on a lot of big returns that you'll, you know, you'll see there's one or two blocks that are really difference makers, and then you know, the part of the play by the returner, whether it's making a tackle, breaking a tackle, or making a guy miss, or sometimes you get a, you know, a second effort or a second block where one player ends up getting two blocks, whether he knocks one guy into another one or he blocks a guy and then, you know, hustles and gets a second block downfield. But you kind of need, you know, something along those lines usually, unless it's just a total breakdown. A coverage team, you usually need one of those elements to create a big return, you know, either part of it in the run or a block or kind of a two-for-one block or, you know, a block that really really separates the coverage. So on those two returns, I think that's, you know, those are two of the elements that came into play.
Okay.
And of course, it's always about good ball handling and no penalties. I mean, penalties, of course, can negate any good play. That's been overall, I think, an area of strength for us in the kicking game, that we haven't had a lot of penalties. So even though, as you said, the return production hasn't been at the level we would like to be, also haven't had a lot of penalties where we lost field position. Yesterday we were able to continue to eliminate those penalties, but actually, you know, create some space for the returns.
Thank you very much, Coach. Thanks, everyone.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.